Today is Tuesday, May 5th, the 11th of Iyar, Yod Aleph Iyar. I think it's the 26th day of the Omer today. Okay, and we are Be'ezrat Hashem finishing Shmuel Bet Perek Yotet. We might not finish, but if we don't finish, it's okay because the last few psukim of Perek Yotet actually go into very nicely Kaf. So, because it's the start of a rebellion. So first, I included a few psukim from Shmuel Bet Yod Zayin to remind us of who we're going to meet now. So this is when David and Absalom are still engaged in their civil war, and David came to Machanaim, and all these people came to greet him as his allies. And the last one is Barzillai, the Gileadite of Rogelim. So he, what did he bring? He brought beds and bowls and earthen vessels and wheat and barley and flour and parched grain and beans and lentils and parched grain and honey and butter and sheep and cheese and kine that they presented to David and to the people that were with him to eat, for they said, "The people are hungry, faint, and thirsty from the wilderness." Okay? So now that David is returning to kingship, it is the return of, so Barzillai HaGiladi comes to greet him. So I think we'll read this whole section about Barzillai, and then you'll see what I found out about Barzillai. So Barzillai Giladi yarad miroglim, ve'avor et hamelech hayarden, l'shalcho et hayarden. So Barzillai from Gilad, the Giladite, he came down from Rogalim and he crossed the Jordan with the king, so to send him off over the Jordan River, because this is when he would be in Yerushalayim. Barzillai zaken ma'od ben 80 shana, v'hu kilkal et hamelech b'sevato b'machanaim ki ish gadol hu ma'od. So he was a very old man, 80 years old. I actually, this is kind of funny, a little embarrassing what I'm admitting to you, but there's a Matisyahu song where he talks about his 80 years old, and I was always wondering where this 80 years old came from because we always say 120, and now that I during the quarantine. I've been making a point of davening all of Shacharit, everything, all the stuff I used to skip because I was in a rush and whatever. Now we have all the time in the world. We're not rushing anywhere. So I've been davening every single part of Shacharit. Not every single. I'm not doing the Korbanot. I'm not that holy. And Shabbos too. And so this actually comes from a pasuk in Tehillim that's part of the Shabbos morning davening that the average man lives to 70, and when he's strong, he lives to 80. So that is considered old, even though we have this notion of 120, it's in the Tanakh more realistic years of 70 and 80, which are becoming, we're actually getting closer to the 120 as being realistic. But in any case, he says he's 80 years old and he's very old. And he had sustained the king when he stayed at Machanaim, for he was a very great man. Okay, Lamed Daled. Vayomer Hamelech El Barzillai, Ata Avoriti VeKilkalti Otcha Imadi BeYerushalayim. So the king said to Barzillai, "Come with me, and I will sustain you with me in Yerushalayim." Lamed Hey Vayomer Barzillai El Hamelech, Kama Yemei Shnei Chayai Ki Ale Et Hamelech Yerushalayim. Says, how many are the days of my life that I should go up to the king to Yerushalayim? Lamed Vav Ben Shmonim Shana Anochi Hayom. I'm 80 years old today. Ha'ida ben tov l'ra, v'im yit'am avdecha et asher ochal, v'et asher eshteh, im eshma od b'kol sharim v'sharot, v'lami yavdecha od l'masa el Adoni Hamelach. So we're going to focus on this pasuk a lot when we get to the commentary. He basically says he's 80 years old. Does he know the difference between good and bad? Can your servant taste what I eat and drink? Meaning he's losing all these senses. And can I still hear the voices of singers and singers? It's interesting that he talks about female singers. And why should I be a burden to my lord, the king? Lamed zayin kimat yavor avdecha et hayarden et hamelech v'lama yigmaleni hamelech hagmula hazot. So a short way your servant go past the Jordan with the king, but why should the king recompense me with such a reward? Okay, why should I'm just doing this little thing for you. Why do you want to do this great service for me? Sorry, one second. Okay. Sorry. Okay, Lamed Zayin Ki, no, Lamed Chet. Yashav na avdecha ve'amut be'iri. So my servant should go, turn back, and I will die in my city, in kever avi v'imi, and with the grave of my father and my mother. V'hinei avdecha kimham ya'avor im adoni hamach. Behold, your servant, Kimham, who's his son, will go with my lord the king, ve'aselo et asher tov ve'necha, and you can do to him good whatever is in your eyes. Lamed tet vayomer hamelch iti avor kimham v'ani aselo atatov beinecha v'kol asher tivchar lai asalach. So the king said, Kimham shall go over with me, and I will do to him what seems right in your eyes, meaning he said whatever in your eyes, and David is being nice and saying whatever in your eyes. Now anything that you shall request of me, I shall do for you. Mem vayavor kol ha'am et ha'yarden v'hamelch avar v'yishak hamelch lebarzilai. So the nation passed the Jordan, and the king passed also, and the king kissed Barzillai, and he blessed him, and he went back to his place. Does anybody, Vayashav Limkomo, is something that we've seen a few times, you're going to see. So Barzillai seems like this awesome guy, but there's a few hints here that tell us maybe it's not the case. So that's what we are going to look at. So first, I included, sorry, there's no space here. David's about to die. This is from Malachim. I'm surprised that it's early, oh, Malachim Aleph. Okay, and David is telling Shlomo everything that he should do and how he should treat different people. And so I included a lot more than just Barzillai here because I didn't include it for some of the other ones. So let's just read in English. So he's telling Shlomo that you should keep the Torah, keep all the mitzvot. And then he says, moreover, you also know what Yoav ben Tzruya did to me and what he did to the two captains of the host of Israel, to Avner, son of Ner, and to Amasa, son of Yeter, whom he slew and shed the blood of war in peace and put the blood of war upon his girdle that was about his loins and in his shoes that were on his feet. And you shall do according to your wisdom and do not let his hoary head go down to the grave in peace. Okay, so he's going to seek revenge on Yoav. But show kindness to the children of Barzillai the Gileadite and let them be those that eat at your table, for so did they befriend me when I fled from Absalom your brother. And then, and behold, there is with you Shimi, the son of Gera, the Benjamite of Bahurim, who cursed me with a grievous curse on the day when I went to Machanaim, and he came down to meet me at the Jordan, and I swore to him by the Lord, saying, I will not put you to death with the sword. And now hold him not guileless, for you are a wise man, and you will surely know what you ought to do to him, and you shall bring his hoary head down to the grave with blood. And that's when David died. Those are his last words, which is interesting about Shimi ben Gera, who we saw that he was so forgiving of us in this parak. Okay. So now, who was Barzillai HaGiladi? This seems very complicated. He seems from the pshat like this great man, but we are going to see that it is not necessarily the case. So although he was very good to David HaMelech and deserves praise and reward for that, in terms of his own character, he's not someone we want to emulate. So at the end of Kohelet, Ecclesiastes, you can see it's Perek Yud Bet, he describes the process of death, and it's this really incredible metaphor. I think we'll just read the whole thing in English. I'm going to make it bigger. So the Gemara continues to expound the verses of the final chapter of Ecclesiastes. The verse states, and the doors shall be shut in the marketplace when the sound of the grinding is low, and one shall start up at the voice of a bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. So you can already see that he doesn't hear the sounds of the singing, you know, the different comparisons with what Barzillai is saying with this pasuk in Kohelet. The sage is expanded and the doors shall be shut in the marketplace. These are a person's orifices which cease to function normally. The interpretation continues when the sound of the grinding is low because the stomach is not grinding and digesting one's food. So he talks about tasting Barzillai. and one shall start up at the voice of a bird, because one is unable to sleep deeply, such that even a bird will wake him in his sleep, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. This means that even the voices of male and female singers will seem to him like mere conversation, and he will no longer derive pleasure from song. So exactly what Barzillai said. And that's when they bring him in. Even Barzillai the Gileadite said to David, "Today I'm 80 years old. Can I discern between good and bad?" And Sapharia brings the rest of the pasuk. "Can your servant taste in what I eat or drink? Can I hear any more the voices of singing men and singing women?" The Gemara explains, "Can I discern between good and bad? From here we derive that the minds of the elderly change, and they no longer discern properly. Can your servant taste what I eat or what I drink? From here we derive that the lips of the elderly crack and wither. Can I hear any more the voice of singing men and singing women? From here we derive that the ears of the elderly become heavy." Okay, so that's very depressing. I apologize. But that's how they compared the pasuk in Kohelet with what Barzillai said about getting old. Rav said, "Barzillai the Gileadite was a liar, and he merely wanted to avoid joining David upon his return to Jerusalem. For an 80-year-old man is not usually this debilitated." Okay, so there's hope. Even in the time of the rabbis of the Gemara, 80 is not considered so old. And they bring proof. "For there was a particular maidservant in the house of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi who was 92 years old, and she would taste the food that was cooking in the pots." So how do we reconcile this contradiction? Rava said, Barzillai was speaking the truth, but Barzillai the Gileadite was steeped in promiscuity. I just want to show you that in Hebrew. Shatuf bezima hava. It's a way we describe Egyptian culture, the rabbis, so it's like really bad. Okay? Shatuf bezima. And anyone who is shatuf bezima, steeped in promiscuity, is taken by old age before his time. So that's why Barzillai at 80 was so old, because, and you kind of like, well, no, I don't want to say anything. So that's why he at 80 had lost all these senses, whereas the maidservant in the house of Revi, who was 92, still had all her senses. It was taught in a bright to the Rabbi Ishmael, son of Rabbi Yossi, says, "As Torah scholars grow older, wisdom is increased in them. As it is stated, with aged men is wisdom, and length of days brings understanding," from Eov. "And as ignoramuses grow older, foolishness is increased in them. As it is stated, he removes the speech of men of trust and takes away the understanding of the aged." Okay. So again, I did a lot of research about Barzillai HaGiladi. So this was another weird source. So Abai said that a different method is used. This is from, I forgot what the... "We pass before him colorful garments of a woman and thereby bring him to arousal so that he will experience an emission." I think, I might be wrong, but I think this is in the context of checking if a man maybe is infertile or not. Rava said, "Is that to say that everyone is like Barzillai the Giladit, traditionally known for his licentious character? Not all men are brought to excitement when they merely see such clothes. Rather, the Gemara rejects this proposal and states that it is clear, as we initially answered, that we follow the former procedure, even though not all men require it." Okay, so Rashi there, I didn't bring it for that, whatever that procedure is, I brought it for the mention of Barzillai HaGiladi. Rashi says, "Shatuf bezima," so steeped in promiscuity, "haya dichtiv be," as it's said about that, as it's written about him, "im yit'om avdecha," can I taste your servant? V'amrinam b'masechet Shabbat, and it also says in Gemara and Shabbos, b'perek shol adam, in this chapter on Daf Kufnun Bet, and this is a thing that we already read, "Shatuf bezima haya," he was steeped in promiscuity, "l'fichach kaftza lav zikna," and that's why old age jumped on him, "dahahi amata, dahavya be'erevi bat tzadi, v'tartin shanin v'tama kidra," because we had the because there was a maidservant of in the house of Rebbe who was 93 years old. That might be 92 years old. And she tastes the pot. I just want to see how old she was. Tratin is 2. Sorry. Talatin in Aramaic is 3. Okay. So now, further in terms of Barzillai's character, that Vayashav Lemikamo, I knew was familiar to me. I knew it because I couldn't find the original source from where I knew this phrase. The original source that I couldn't find was comparing Lavan to Bilam. There's that Bilam might have been a reincarnation of Lavan, or just might have been a descendant of Lavan. And one of the ways they prove it is that for both of them, it uses this expression of Vayashav l'mekomo. So this is about Bilam. I didn't include the one of Lavan, but it's after Lavan and Yaakov make peace. And it says Lavan went back to his place. So here's Vayakam Bilam Vayelech Vayashav Limkomo. So once, like, it's a phrase that's not used, it's only used explicitly here in these. It's used a couple other times, but within this type of context, to it seems to really be comparing Barzillai to Bilam. So here is Bereishit Rava. So that was all of the negative connotations of Barzillai, and I couldn't find anybody comparing Barzillai to Bilam explicitly, but just this similarity of language that I know somewhere and I couldn't find it is comparing Bilam to Lavan, who are both unsavory characters. And so that was just like the final thing about Barzillai not being such an upstanding citizen. But here was another thing from Bereishit Rabbah. Amar Rabbi Yudan, Chamisha Pamim Katuv Bani. Oh, and I'm so sorry, I forgot where this is. It's somewhere in Chai Sara. So it's written 5 times Bini, Barzillai. Oh, I forgot where it's written. I apologize, but just you have to trust me. It's something written 5 times. Keneged Chamisha Sifrei Torah, corresponding to the 5 books of the Torah, Lelamedcha, Shekol Mishehu, Achil Prusa Letzadik, that anybody who feeds the smallest amount to a tzadik, Ki'ilu hu mikayam chamisha sifrei Torah. It's as if he upheld the entire 5 books of Moses. And we know that Barzillai did this incredible act of kindness to David HaMelech during the civil war with Avshalom, in that he gave him all this sustenance for him and his troops. So that's the bottom line. Whoever he was as a young man, we don't know. He seems to be paying his price for it by being old before his time at 80 years old. Which is hopeful for us all. We've all lived upstanding lives. Hopefully, we will still have all our senses intact at 80. And Barzillai is as if he upheld the 5 books of the Torah. Okay, so now the Malbim on all those psukim. Okay, so Ubarzilai Ratzon Lamarsha, Nahag Imo Kavod Migimot Tamim.
Sorry, Stacey, I just wanted to ask, but that's a positive thing about
Yeah,
him, what you just read.
exactly. Exactly.
Bereishit Rabbah.
Yeah, so that's
Just
what
like.
I ended with the positive, and I'm sorry that I forgot the context of what the 5 times were. It was mostly just to show that there was this positive source, rabbinic source, about Barzillai, even though we had all those negative things about
So
Barzillai.
most of the sources are negative, though, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, most of the sources seem to focus on what they surmise is his sordid past. But this one focused on the good thing he did to David HaMelech.
It's really no good deed goes unpunished. Is there any basis for all these negatives? I mean, it just seems
Right,
so
yeah.
undeserved.
So the basis was that he was decrepit at age 80, and Rebbe had this maidservant at 92 who had all her senses intact. And then the only other thing that I could find that was not mentioned by any of the rabbis was this Vayashav l'mikomo that puts him in proximity to Bilam, like that phrase. It's not a common phrase. Otherwise, yeah. Otherwise, from the pshat, he just seems wonderful. So I feel bad. It's almost like I was doing lashon hara, telling you all these horrible things about him. But okay, so the Malbim is saying that Barzillai, 3 things he did. That the reason why David is treating him so well is for 3 reasons: Aleph, mitzad ziknoto, one, because he's an elderly man; two, behu kilkel, and second, because he sustained David during the civil war, lehashiv tova. He wanted to give back good to him. And Gimel, ki ish gadolu. And the third reason was because he was this great man. So that's why all those details are in the pasuk to explain why David would have been treating him with this honor. Lamed Daled, ata voriti. So when David is saying, come with me, Amar le'shnei devarim, he was really saying 2 things. Aleph, she'achar sheha'minhag she'be'inyan kazeh yavor ish hayoter gadol be'am be'im am et hamelech lichvado. So, because he was such a great man, so he should accompany the king, and the king should have him in his with him and for his honor. Imkein atav voriti. Therefore, you come with me ke'en gadol mimechka, because you are the greatest man. And bet the second reason why you should come with me v'kilkati otcha, because I will sustain you. Ve'agam she'en ata tzarich leze, even though you don't need it because you're wealthy. Yeze echad imadi. It'll be with me she'tia me'ochle shochani lekavod. You'll be of the eaters of my table in honor. And bet b'Yerushalayim. In Yerushalayim, be'ir hamalucha, in the city of the kingship, below teshe be'ir katana beroglim, and you won't be in this small little backwards town of roglim. You'll be in an honored city. Okay, so remember what Barzillai said, Vayomer Barzillai, Heshiv. He responded, Aleph, im haya lechtid letzorach v'toelet, if I would go for need and for benefit, halo lo yimashech toelet ze zman rav. It wouldn't even be such a long time of the benefit. Ki kami yimei shnei chaya, because how many days of my life do I have? Ve'ein ra'ui hatorach hazah be'avro. And it's not worth it for you to put so much effort when I only have a few years left in my life. Ki ale et hamelech Yerushalayim, that I should go up with the king to Jerusalem. Lamed Vav, this is Zot Sheinit, so this is the second thing that Barzillai is saying. Shelo yimashech toelet me halichati klal, that this benefit won't, from my going, won't continue at all. Ki im rotze bi ba'avor tzorach hamelech lidrosh mimani etza v'tushia, because if you think that I'm going to give you good advice, because, you know, I'm a great man, whatever, ha'ida hayom ben tov l'ra, can I tell the difference between good and bad? Ve'im l'tolati, and if it's to my own benefit, im yitz'am avdecha, can your servant even taste? What he's trying to say is he doesn't enjoy anymore from any senses. And that's why he said, can I even hear the singing of the male singers and female singers? And it's not even just that it's not a benefit. I'll actually be a burden. Lamed Zayin, Zot Shlishit, this is the third reason why he's refusing. Kimat Yavor, Ratzon Lomar, Lame Yigmaleni, Afim Hayiti Nenemeze. I only accompanied you a little bit. So why are you giving me this great reward, even if I'm not going to enjoy it? V'chi ba'avur ha'ma'at ma'sheni avarti la'avir et ha'melech et ha'yardin, because of the small amount that I accompanied you to pass over the Jordan. Ki ma'asiti yoter miza, what did I do beyond this? Halo me'at asiti ve'en ze ra'ui ligmol, I only did a little bit, and it's not fitting for this type of recompense. Revi'i, the fourth one, she'im b'kol ze rotza ha'melech le'hitivimi, if, in any case, after all these reasons why I've told you it's not worth it for you to do these good things to me, you still want to, your servant should go back and I'll die in my city, ki higia iti, because my time has come, ummela bini omed tachti liyarsheni, and in any case my son stands under me to inherit me, vehu yavor, and he should go, ki lo mishpat ha'yerusha tachat aviv, because he will inherit everything I have. Lamatet veyomer hamelech iti yavor kimham, your son will pass with me, gam beloze yavor iti, even without all of your reasons, he'll come with me. Ki ratziti le'ativ imo b'yichud mitzad atzmo, because I wanted to do good to him in and of himself. V'lo ase imo atob b'einai rak atob b'einecha. I won't do what's good in my eyes, I'll only do what's good in your eyes. U'beladi ze kol asher tivchar alai asa lecha b'yichud. I'm going to do special things for you. V'yavor achar hadibur haze shahaya b'mamad Kulam Avar im Yehuda Tchila. So after all this talking that was done, I think standing, like they weren't walking anymore, meaning they all passed with Yehuda at the front. Okay, and that's Malvim is mentioning that on purpose because that's going to lead us to our next section. V'hamelch im Barzillai Avar achareihem, and the king with Barzillai were after them. V'az v'yeshak hamelch, and then he kissed the king. So the chronology was a little off. It seemed a little off that they passed and then David would kiss him. So he's saying that Yehuda came in front and then it was David with Barzillai and he kissed him and they said goodbye. Okay. Do we have time to finish the parak? Excellent. Okay, so here's the end of the pack. Vayavor hamelech ha-Gilgala, v'kimhan avarimo. So the king went over to Gilgal, and Kimhan went with him. V'kol am Yehuda he'aviru et hamelech, v'gam chatzi am Yisrael. And all the people of Yehuda brought the king over, and also half the people of Israel. So these are half of those who came to greet him. Mem bet, v'hine kol ish Yisrael ba'im el hamelech, v'yomru el hamelech, madua genavucha achenu ish Yehuda, v'yaviru et hamelech, v'et beito et hayarden, v'kol anshe David imo. Okay, so here we get the start of conflict. If you're, I'll translate it first, and I'll explain. And behold, all the men of Yehuda, of Israel came to the king, and they said to the king, why did our brothers and men of Yehuda steal you away? If you remember, we accused Avshalom of stealing and being deceitful, stealing hearts. So this is an accusation of the men of Israel to David, that he's also, that, well, Yehuda's stealing you away by having brought the king and his household over the Jordan and all of David's men with him. So if you remember, we said, I think a couple weeks ago, and it was Rabbi Zak who said this, that David had never shown favoritism toward Yehuda before. And here in our parak, he seems to be showing special concern for Yehuda. That was the whole thing we said. Why shouldn't you be the first? And we had that beautiful Chafetz Chaim about how we should all be the first to go to Hashem. And David seems to be, for the very first time, showing special favor to Yehuda. And Yehuda, it seems, the tribe of Yehuda got sort of a big head in this, and then in the way Yehuda would do, sort of took over. And this is offending Yisrael, because Yisrael were actually the first to come to David to reinstate him as the king. So this conflict is really brewing here right now. And we're going to end on a cliffhanger, unfortunately, because Kaf starts with that, with a real rebellion. Okay, so Mem Gimel, Vayan Kol Yish Yehuda Al Yish Yisrael. So all the men of Yehuda answered to Israel, Ki Karov HaMelech Eli, Bilam Hazeh Chara Lecha Al HaDavar Hazeh. So the king is near to me, meaning also Karov is a relative. Why are you angry about this? Ha'achol achalnu min ha'melech im niseit nisa lanu. Have we eaten of the king, or has any present been gifted us? Meaning the king hasn't actually actively done any favoritism. So why are you getting so upset? Ve'an ish Yisrael et ish Yehuda. So the Israel men answer Yehuda. So the Israel here is talking about the 10 tribes. Ve'yomer eser yadot li. I have 10 parts in the king, b'melech. V'gam v'David ani mimcha, I am therefore closer to David than you, because we are 10 tribes and you're only one. Umadua hekilotani, why are you slighting me? I think it's the same verb to describe how Hagar treated Sarah after Hagar got pregnant with this word, verb of hakel. V'lohaya devari rishon. Weren't we the first? My word was the first. Lehashiva et malki, to return my king. Veikash devar ish Yehuda mid devar ish Yisrael. And this is very difficult to translate. I'll just read the translation, and we'll see all the different interpretations. And the words of the men of Yehuda were harsher than the words of the men of Israel. Okay, so malvim on this. Veyaviru et hamelech. So they brought the king. Shehaviruhu leGilgal, they brought him to Gilgal, v'gam chatzi am Yisrael, and also half of the nation of Israel, haynu hachatzi min ha'elef ish shebao miYisrael. So this would be half of the 1,000 men that had come to greet David from Israel. Ki hachatzi hasheni nitachru, the second half were delayed, ki avru ate yarden v'achrona, because they were the last to pass over the Jordan. Membet, v'hine, behold, v'az noda hadvar b'Yisrael, v'hitasvu v'hit ra'amu al shelo hodi alehem. So Israel feels slighted. I think what's going on, let's just look at, sorry. So it seems like Yehuda, according to Israel, the 10 tribes, Yehuda has taken over this reinstating of David HaMelech without, in sort of a unilateral way. And that's what they're upset about. So the thing became known to Israel, and they gathered and they protested that it was not announced to them. And this is from two facets. Whether it's from the aspect of the honor of the king, because all of Israel came to greet him, or whether it's from their own honor, as it will be written. So why did Yehuda sort of take over this whole process? Why did you steal? We wouldn't have this protest if the king had passed over by himself, because then it would seem to us, if the king passed by himself, that his heart was sure that all of Israel was satisfied with him. So their protest is from the aspect that the king went with all of his men, that these strong men in the army is passing with him, as if he's a king only by taking over through military force, and he's only sure with his army and the men of Yehuda that are complete with him, meaning that the 10 tribes would not be satisfied with him. And the only reason he's traveling with Yehuda is because that's the only people he can rely on that he's sure about. As if he will rule with a strong arm over Israel. And this is portraying it as if they still, because the Israel, the 10 tribes, they really are satisfied and they also want to return him as king. And the way he's being returned, it's as if he's taking over, controlling the 10 tribes of Israel by force, and that they weren't accepting him in this way. Is that clear? Okay. Mem Gimel. Bayan Kol Yehuda. So how does Yehuda answer? Heshiva lehem shalosh tanot. They have three claims. Aleph, ma shehekdamnu hu ki li mishpat hekdima mitzad shalmach karov elai. We went first because the king is closer to us. Im b'shani shani mishivto, because I'm from his shevet. Im ya'an sheshochen b'Yehuda, or whether it's because he lives near us in Yehuda. Yerushalayim's in Yehuda. Bet, v'lama zechara l'chal dvar hazeh. Why are you angry about this? She'en zeh pukam chobot decha. This doesn't hurt your honor. U'ma l'chayim b'rav im hadrat ha'melech. And it's with, this is actually adding honor to the king that he's returning with many people. Halo hu mochel al kvodo. And he's mochel, he's excusing his own honor, that he wants all these, that he's not doing it by himself. In Gimel, ha'achol achalnu, ratzon lamar shebetsuda yesh nafkamina la'barishon she'ochel tatov v'ha'muvchar. So the one who eats, I think. So they're saying at a su'uda, at a meal, there's what to learn, that the one who comes first eats the best and the most chosen. V'chein be'et she'cholkim mas'et u'matanot she'haba acharon lo yasig mas'et. And they're assuming, I guess, that David's going to be giving gifts as he's reinstated as king, and they want to be the first to get it because the last ones won't get any of the gifts. Aval po, but here, v'ki achalnu o neshanu mas'et, but that's not the case here, because the king is really complete before you. Anachnu ha'virunhu at ha'yardin, v'atem t'aviruhu mipo v'hala. We went over the Jordan here, and you will go over the Jordan from here and beyond. V'hu melachem kumo shehu malkeinu. And he's your king, just like he's our king. V'yan ish Yisrael. So how does Israel respond? Hei shivu ha'shalosh ta'notehem. They respond on their three claims that they had before. That you think that you can go first because you're relatives. Eser yadot li b'malach. I have 10 parts of the king. Lanu mishpat hikdima mitzad she'anachnu harov. We should go first because we're the majority. Anachnu asara shvatim ve'ata shavet echad. We're 10 tribes and you're one. Beli asara chalkim b'machut. And therefore we have 10 parts in the kingship. V'gam b'David ani mimecha. Shiro, Begam David, Eser Yadot, Ani Mimacha. We have 10 more portions of you. than you. Hagam shehu David mi mishpachat Yehuda, even though he's David from the tribe of Yehuda, because ani aser yadot mimacha. In any case, I'm 10 more parts than you. V'hamelch lo yabit al sha'ar u'mishpacha, rak al amo u'machuto. And the king shouldn't look at his family, he should look at his nation and his kingship. And therefore, we're 10 to 1, even though he comes from your tribe. And on the second one, al hasheni, mashakatav lama zechar alecha, why does it bother you so much? Heshiva, they returned, umadua hekilotani, why have you treated us lightly? So it does bother us because you're neglecting us and you're treating us lightly. Al hagimel, and on the third claim, mashakatav achol achalnu, about eating. Let me just see how that's translated again. Have we eaten of the king who has been present been given us, right? We haven't received anything, so you shouldn't be angry. Okay, hashiva v'lo haya divrei rishon li lahashiv at malki. So they respond, now is not my word the very first to return to my king, right? We were the first to return. Ki meharaui sha'anachnu sha'anu rov Yisrael, Nashiv et malkeinu al pi haskamato. Since we're the majority of Israel, it's more fitting that we're the ones that return the king on his agreement. Lo al pi davar shevet echad, and it shouldn't be a unilateral decision with one tribe. Ki ilo hadavar harishon hadover alai, lashiv et malki eno devarai rak devar Yehuda. It seems like this is just the words of Yehuda, and we're not included in this. Hu hadibur b'rishona ve'anu acharav. They speak first and we're after him. V'kedei lanu b'zayon v'katzaf. And this is causing us shame and anger. V'yikash devar ish Yehuda. So Yehuda's words were more difficult or harsher. Ki ayedei zeh nitava v'kuach u'madanim. Because by way of Yehuda's words and actions, there became arguments and quarrels. U'bnei Yehuda hikishu devarim neged Yisrael. And Yehuda had these harsh words for Israel. And by way of this, Sheva ben Bichri, who we're going to meet in the next parak, came to rebel. So Rashi has a slightly different take on it. We'll just read the English. He says, we have 10 parts of the king, for we are 10 tribes. And to David, although he's related to you, I am more drawn to him, since I represent 10 parts. Why then did you slight me? By preceding me in the king's escort, had I not spoken first concerning the return of my king? For indeed, our words to reinstate him came first, as it is written, and the word of all Israel came to the king. Okay, we knew all that, sorry, but this is the key. And the words of the men of Yehuda were harsher. A similar expression is correct yourselves, which has the same, so lashon hit koshishu. The words of the people of Yehuda seemed more plausible and correct, for they showed them a letter that David had sent them stating, why should you be last to reinstate the king? So they're using the words of the king that was used to motivate Yehuda to come back and to accept him. They're using it against David to try to show Israel that David wanted them to be first. In this manner, it is explained in the Agada. So as opposed to being harsher, Rashi says they're claiming that their words are more correct because they have this letter, they have proof. Now one may also explain Vayikash is an expression of harshness and strength, and so did Jonathan's state were harsher, which is also Hamabim. Okay, and one more, the Radak, Eser Yadot, Lufishem Asara Shvatim, Ki Binyamim, Im Yehuda, Ve'od, Ki Elef Yishmi Binyamin, Im Shimi, Haviru Hamelech Et Yardin. Okay, so the 10 tribes as opposed to 11, because it seems to be 10 versus Yehuda, but it's 10 versus Yehuda and Binyamin. V'gam b'David ani mimech, and I'm actually closer to David. K'targamo af b'David ana ra'ina mimcha. We are closer to David. We're like rei mahuvim, friends. Klomar afal pi shehu mishivtecha, even though he's from your tribe, ani rotze bo yoter mimcha. I want him more than you. We're closer. Veikash davar ish Yehuda, kashe dvarim v'chazak, so they were harsh words, yoter mi dvar ish Yisrael, more than the words of Israel, v'dibru ish Yehuda li'ish Yisrael, kashot, so the men of Yehuda spoke harshly to the men of Israel, v'hamelech haya shotek lahem, and the king was silent, l'fikach chara li'ish Yisrael, and that's why Israel became angry, v'halchu acharei Sheva ben Bichri, and they went after Sheva ben Bichri, kesh takav shofar v'amar ish la'alokat Le'ohalav Lav Israel. So when he blew the shofar and he said, all of Israel men to their tents. Okay, so the Radak is answering again this idea of David's silence, which caused the whole Avshalom revolt as well. And here it seems to be causing Israel to revolt. So the Radak is adding that little aspect to what we're going to read in Perek Kaf about the revolt.
So this is the beginning of the Bikuach between Yehuda and the northern tribes?
Yeah, David's, it's going to be salt. It's going to have a good ending right
because
now.
Because I thought that the division between Israel and Yehuda was during Shlomo's reign.
Yeah, it's actually after Shlomo, the complete division with Rechavam and Yeravam.
Right.
So David's going to put down this rebellion. It's going to have a good ending. Right. Yeah. It's not going to end bad. Spoiler alert.
Okay. It's interesting because we were talking about Robert Alter, his observation during this apparent sibling rivalry, tribal rivalry, was, to note how silent David was during this whole dispute. And he took it as a sign that he was losing his royal grip, that he just wasn't the forceful king that he had been earlier.
Interesting. Yeah, because he's suffered so much tragedy. And this sibling rivalry, as you all know, goes back to the actual Yehuda and the children of Leah and the children of Rachel. And in fact, Shechem, where Dina was raped and where Yosef gets sold eventually. Rashi, when Avraham goes to Shechem, he says Avraham went to Davin there because that would be the site of dispute. And that's also where Yeravam and Rechavam split. So it's all goes back, as we read in the Shem Mishmuel, from the original children of Yaakov.
At what point do we start referring to the northern tribes as Israel?
I think here.
This is it, the first.
Yeah, because reference. And we transitioned from referring to the people who joined with Avshalom as Israel to here, where it's clearly talking about the 10 tribes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, thanks, guys. I'll see you next week.
Thank you.
I would have liked to have heard your discussion in June.